Welcome to the Deep Practice Podcast, where we will share tips, stories, and strategies that help bring power into your discipleship process. I'm your host, Becky Shabilsky, and today we're back with Bob Beer, the founder of Go and Do Discipleship. Bob, welcome back to the show. On our last episode, you wrapped up by telling us a story about another painful experience you had as you realized that people were not using the tools that you had created in the way that you hoped they would use them. As we jump into the show today, would you tell us what was happening?
Every time someone had told me they'd use it in a retreat and had a great retreat, or used it in a sermon series, had a great sermon series in their small group, I decided, well, I'm going to go back 6 months from now and see if people are still using, the spiritual practices that they learned in that great retreat or that great sermon series. And so I made a point to go back and talk to people 6-9 months later. And of course, what I discovered was they weren't. It had been kind of a one-time experience, you know. They had used forgiveness that week, but they weren't continuing to use it. You know, they hadn't really acquired a habit of interacting with God in the midst of these struggles. Go ahead.
Why was that a problem for you? I mean, some people are thinking, oh, I had this great forgiveness experience, and something in you is telling you that that's not good enough. So,
yeah. Well, as a layperson, I mean, what we set out to do initially was we wanted people to acquire, like the winter driving school, like a lifelong habit for, interacting with God in the midst of these struggles and knowing how to do that, not a one-time experience. So that had been on our minds from the very beginning. That was our aim. And so even though, and we knew that, there's a lot of things out there in the Christian learning world, that provide great one-time experiences. A lot of great sermons, a lot of great retreats do that, but we had always focused on helping people build an actual habit, a habit of, turning to God in the midst of struggles or doing these things for the rest of their lives. So when we found out that wasn't going on, again, it was kind of a point in the road where we were discouraged, stopped cold, not sure what to do, and wondering after 6 weeks, after 6 years, that we hadn't really achieved our goal, and these things really weren't doing what we wanted them to do. So.
Yeah. So that's interesting to hear you say that from the very beginning, you intended to help people build lifelong habits. And so after 6 years of hard work, you are realizing, oh, I've helped people have another one-time experience. So not at all what you were hoping for. So then what happened?
Well, I was kind of stopped cold. And then one day I got a call from a priest in a Catholic church in Toledo, Ohio. And he was going to use our tools during Lent. This is 2018. Over the 6 weeks of Lent. And I told him, oh, that's a great idea. You could do one practice every week. Our book had five practices in it, like forgiveness, lament, praise, relinquishment, and I think quiet time or something like that. And I said, great, you could do one a week, and that would fit pretty well into the Lent period. And he said, no, that's not what I'm going to do. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take one of your practices, the practice of relinquishment of worries and fears, and we're going to learn that and focus on that for the whole 6 weeks. And I thought, what? What are you talking about? Yep, for the whole 6 weeks. I'm going to preach on it, and then we're going to have small groups in between worship services who actually practice it together. And then I thought, do whatever you want to do. And that's what he did. And so That was in Lent of 2018. In the summer and fall of that year, again, I didn't have to check back with this guy because he kept calling me in the summer and telling me these stories about how this had really changed the whole culture of his church related to worry and fear, that people were using this on their own, not spurred on by him, and people were using the word relinquishment. He heard it used all the time. Matter of fact, I remember him telling me a story that fall that he was at a hospital with a family whose father was dying. The father was dying in the hospital. And the daughter asked to see him alone in the hallway, and she pulled him aside. And she said, "Father Dave, I'm really worried about my dad. I'm afraid he's not going to make it." And before he could say anything, she stopped and said, "I need to use relinquishment, don't I?" And he said, "Yeah." And she said, "That's what I'm going to do." And so these stories started coming back to me in his church about all these people using relinquishment on an ongoing basis. And when we dug into it, what we found out is people who had participated in those small groups over Lent had actually done relinquishment, 10, 12, 15 times over that 6-week period. And they had begun to form a habit of, when they got worried and afraid, they turned to God. It's like, that was it. And we kind of knew when we went back to the book, The Talent Code, that's what it said, is the practicing part of it has to go on. There's got to be multiple repetitions, to do it. And so what we did is we actually modified our coaching guides and our practice tools to have each practice done for 3 weeks instead of 1 week. In other words, the things were all there that would help people extend the practicing time over a 3-week period. And in that 3-week period, do the practice 10, 15, 20 times, maybe, do forgiveness of people in your life 10 times or 15 times over a 3-week period. And so that's what we did. Again, went back and started handing it out, testing it. And sure enough, it worked. What we found is people who were doing it for 3 weeks using our tools, being coached a little bit during that 3-week period, we're actually acquiring these lifelong skills. And I was getting these testimonials about, this has changed my life. Whenever I start to, be worried or afraid, I do relinquishment. And so after 9 years, now this is 9 years, finally, after 9 years, this is the end of last year, 2019. We thought we had it. It worked the way we originally envisioned, 9 years earlier. So we knew our next challenge was to try to make these tools, these guides and these practice tools, make it them easier to access. And so what we've done and what we're starting into now is we're taking the coaching guides and we're actually going to turn them into small, short online courses so people can learn those things online. And we're going to take the practice tools, which are in paper form, now print form, and we're going to make them into an app so people can have, the actual steps of relinquishment with them all the time. And then of course we partnered with you to start this podcast, to start to tell people, to help them understand this whole idea of deep practice and how it can be used in this, to learn the lessons of the Bible and to learn to do what Jesus did and told us to put into practice. So
great. Well, thanks for sharing that story with us. It's interesting. It makes me think of, when Father Dave said, "Hey, we're going to do this for 6 weeks during Lent," and your initial reaction was like, "That's okay. That's not what I would have done." But he did it anyway. And just thinking, as a pastor for my time in pastoral ministry, that would be kind of boring to spend 6 weeks talking about the same thing. But when we reflect on how true learning happens, people need to have that continuous, repetition of a topic or an idea so that it can really be assimilated into their being. And then to have the opportunity not just to hear about it, but to do it. And it just makes me think about, you know, again, a background in sports that I have. And I know you have a background in sports that, you know, you hear the fundamentals from your coach, you see them modeled, but then you get out there and you practice and you practice and you practice. Because if you don't do that part, when it's time on the field to do whatever the thing is that you need to do, or the court or whatever sport you're talking about, you can't do it. You can't just show up in the moment and be like, oh, it's the time to do it. You have to have practiced long before that moment. And so when those stories started coming back from parishioners in his context, in the moment when they were faced with the challenge, that they knew what to do. That's such a dream to just realize, oh, they had actually been equipped. They had the tools they needed in their tool belt so that when the challenge arose in their life, in their actual life, they would know exactly what to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, remember the winter driving school? It's like a winter driving school experience where people who went through it, like my daughters, actually enjoy it. It's funny. They actually enjoy it because instead of just hearing something or reading about it, you're actually having a chance to actually do it. And of course, the difference with doing a spiritual practice versus learning to drive in snow and ice is that what you're doing is you're interacting with God and you're having an experience of grace, of supernatural grace, of God helping you, you know, taking a worry and fear off your heart, or taking dislike of someone off your heart and forgiveness or whatever. It's actually a fun, you know, life-changing kind of experience. That's what people tell me all the time. And the other thing that's, I think, neat about deep practice is that the burden of equipping people, which seems to always fall heavy on like the pastor, you know, or the priest, or the small group leader, or the retreat leader, or whoever, the person mentoring the other, you know, they are the ones who feel the whole burden for equipping the person. This actually, deep practice kind of spreads it out, where like it's the, like me in the winter driving school, I kind of got it started. You know, I kind of made it available to my daughters. I, you know, scheduled the trip out west, signed them up for it, you know, made it available to them. The instructor actually helped show them how to do it, provided the coaching support. And they were active participants in their own learning because they actually did it. And that's why, you know, at the end of the winter driving school, you know, whenever my daughters tell me, oh, Dad, I got myself in trouble and I knew how to get out of it, I feel this great warm feeling that I played a role. I didn't do it all, but I played a small role, you know, in equipping them to do that. And Dave, Father Dave at this Catholic church tells me this, he feels the same way. People come up to him and would tell him, I did relinquishment. You know, I was worried about this. And he feels the same way I felt. It's like I played a role in it, but everybody plays a role in it. You know, it's not just the person who started it, you know? And so it's, I think that's how real learning seems to work, is that it involves, the leader who has a vision for it, you know, the coaches, which help people get into it and help them stay with it. And then the actual person themselves who actually practices it, practices interacting with God and has that experience. And so I think it has the additional benefit of taking the heavy burden off people who feel this weight to equip people, you know, that whole burden doesn't have to rest on them. It shouldn't rest on them. It can't rest on them. You know, we know that, you know, Becky, we've talked about this. We know that hearing and reading about things, it's not enough, you know.
Right, but right. We create our best, you know, efforts when we give a sermon week in and week out as a pastor or a priest, and we pour ourselves into it. And we just so very often hear, oh, what did you say? I can't even remember, you know, a week later, 3 days later, let alone, you know, months and months later. So just hearing it is not enough, but sometimes it feels like that's all we have to do. That's all we can do. That's all that can fit into our busy lives. And that's a terrible place to be.
Yeah. And the thing is, so many of those great sermons and messages, they're essential to get the process started, you know, but they get wasted because we don't follow through with the whole of not just hearing it, but seeing it and actually doing it, you know. And if those pieces can be added in to the hearing and the reading of it, then it works. It works.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this part of the story. And I hope all of you have enjoyed hearing from the founder of Go and Do Discipleship, Bob Beer. In the next episode, we will be catching up with Father Dave. Instead of me telling you the stories about what happened in his church, Dave will be joining us to share what he experienced by using deep practice and accelerated learning in his church. I hope you'll join us then. In the meantime, you can find us at www.deeppracticepodcast.com. Go ahead and subscribe now so you don't miss the next episode. And thanks again for joining me here on the Deep Practice Podcast. See you soon.